Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I happen to have a chemical reaction to things, and I tried to, but the other day, if you're going to be doing things that are crazy out there, that you have to figure out a way to get your stuff done. And with spring coming around, if you're dealing with the pollen and you have some sort of allergy situation going on, you're going to want to wear some sort of protective mask. Now, if you have a protective mask, that'll help you breathe a little bit better if you're painting your garden. And I think that if you're planting your garden this time of year, you want to make sure that you get all of the vegetables and things that grow in the middle of the summer ready to grow. So right now, all the trees where you live are starting to bloom, and there's pollination going on. And a pollination is a lot of stuff that's crazy out there. There's bees, and the bees are coming out. And you don't want to kill the bees because the bees are excellent pollinators. And when the bees come out and do the pollination, it's important that you don't kill them because they pollinate. They carry something from one flower to the next, and they land on it. And then that makes the flower they do the thing. And the bees are fed. And now certain bees are like honeybees. They go back to their nest and they feed their young. And they make honey and they put them inside of a cell that they make. It's some sort of hexagon. I think it's a hexagon. It might be not a pentagon, more of a hexagon, which is six sides. And that's when you have to decide if you're going to wear protective clothes. You want to wear long sleeves, probably some gloves. A pair of pants, because you get all that pollen on you and it gets back in your house. And down in the southern states where there's a lot of pine trees is always that time when it's like 1 or 2 weeks where everything is yellow. And if it doesn't rain, then that's the key to success. That's the key to getting your garden planted and to not get yellow. And if you're one of those people that's got a porch, like you live in an apartment complex and you have some sort of porch going, and the pollen gets all over there, then you track it into your house. You need to get a hose or maybe fill up a pitcher with water and go out and spray off the plastic furniture that you bought at a garage sale about 6 years ago. It's falling apart, and you've used duct tape to make sure that it lasts the maximum amount of time that you want, because you made a solid investment in plastic porch furniture. Plastic porch furniture can be purchased for, you know, brand new at Walmart or sometimes outside of a Kroger grocery store. But a lot of times you can get a better deal. People who moved out of an apartment complex and now live in a house and they want to get rid of that plastic furniture. So it's better than, of course, getting those chairs, you know, the folding chairs that have the canvas on them, because if you get the fans with the canvas on them and they got the little cup holder for beer, that's just going to make you lazy and you're not going to be able to do your gardening. Photosynthesis, bordering,
photosynthesis. Garden tips. If you're going to be gardening in the spring and you live in the South, the thing that's important to understand is that for the entire winter time, you've your soil has been collecting moisture. And while your soil is collecting this moisture, the organic compounds of the decomposing leaves and pine needles and the grass that you cut, and it's best, of course, to leave the mulch when you're cutting the grass, unless it's very long, because if it's very long, then, of course, the grass that you have trimmed with your lawnmower and not put in the bag and taken to some sort of place to, you know, let it decompose, is going to kill the grass that you currently have. Like, supposing in the fall that you left all of your leaves that fell from all of the trees on your lawn, and you have the lawn, and the grass is going to kill that. So what I recommend in the fall is that you pick up all the leaves. Don't use a leaf blower, because the leaf blower uses gasoline and fuel, and it contributes to the carbonization of the atmosphere, which can cause a greenhouse effect. Now, not necessarily you, but if you and your neighbor and the people down the street. Now, the other thing, I recommend an electric one. Sure, you have to get extension cords, those long extension cords, and you kind of have to piece them together. And then when you finish, you got to roll them up. And that's a pain, and it takes longer. But you're not contributing to greenhouse gases in this instance, and you're not using one of those lithium battery things that if you don't take care of them, they will break and die, and then you'll have to go buy a new leaf blower. Financing a leaf blower is not a very good idea, because it could break before you finish paying it off, and then you got to find a lawnmower repair place, a small engine place. And so the leaves get picked up in the fall. You pick the leaves up in the fall. You put them in the paper bag that you bought at Ace Hardware or Lowe's or Home Depot. And you fill these bags up with sticks and leaf debris and grass, and you put them by the side of the road. And then the township comes, or the county comes, and they pick them up. And they put them in some sort of a giant truck, like a garbage truck, but they're not picking up garbage. They are picking up, you know, refuse from your lawn. And if you're, you know, really eco-conscious and you don't like the idea of trees, fresh virgin wood being felled to make these paper bags, because the best paper bags are made from fresh virgin wood, then you can get one of those Rubbermaid cans and just fill that up, although that will take you longer, because you'll have to leave piles of leaves, and put those in there. So the thing that you want to do, especially important this time of year, or in the fall, last year was the fall. The fall is when you pick up the debris. You could have some sort of compost box, or one of those tumblers, or maybe you just have a giant pit in which you throw all of your yard debris, your leftover food, your scraps, your eggshells, the parts of vegetables that you don't eat, which is, for me, most of the vegetables. For instance, I'll cook broccoli, and I will maybe eat two or three of the broccoli, the bushes on top, the flowery part, and then the stems and whatever, that stuff. That just sort of goes into a melange of garbage. When you eat a banana, you take the banana peel off and you pull off that little thing at the end that when you were a child, you thought was poison if you ate it. And if you accidentally ate it, you worried for about 2 days if that banana seed was going to plant itself inside of your stomach and grow out through your belly button, which would be cool, because then you'd have your own banana tree that's growing out of your belly button. But you would have to find a way to carefully remove it from your belly button without damaging the roots, so you could plant it and then grow your own bananas. Now, if you have an Audi belly button, now it's going to get trapped. And if you don't have that removed, if you don't find a way to remove it properly, it will burst through your Audi belly button, which will then deflate and become an inny belly button. And that is the best way to do things when you're trying to grow a banana tree. From the little seed that's at the bottom of the banana, the part you're not supposed to eat. Now, if the bananas get excessively brown, the thing you can do is put them in a Ziploc bag and put them in the freezer, where sometime in the near future you plan on making banana bread, because, you know, the bruised up dark bananas are the best ones to use for your grandma's banana bread. And then you can get walnuts at your favorite grocery store, if you know where a walnut tree is, and you're not afraid of trespassing, or maybe it's in the woods and it's your secret walnut tree, then you can pick your own walnuts. But why go through all that trouble when you can just go to Walmart or Kroger or Publix or Trader Joe's or Sprouts or Aldi or Lidl or PNC or Acme or Wegmans or Whole Foods, or, you know, just a convenience store down the street that might sell walnuts, and then you can put those walnuts on top of your homemade banana bread. But you don't even need to make the banana bread. You could just go to one of those stores, and if they sell banana bread, you could just buy it. Or save yourself the trouble. It's pre-sliced. Go to Starbucks. Say, hey, I want a coffee. Do you have any banana bread? And that banana bread, of course, has walnuts on top of it, and the walnuts are there. Now, if you have a nut allergy, I don't recommend getting the banana bread with the walnuts on top of it, because usually that will probably kill you. So to get back to the main point of what I'm saying about planting belly button banana trees is to make sure that you get them before they start to fray out, and you know how the stems come out. You want to have two stems that are making the V's, and then you carefully remove it from your belly button, and then you find a nice piece of soil to plant them in your house. And that banana tree will grow, and you'll have those big banana leaves in your living room, which really fits the decor. So if you have that kind of thing, and you know, by the way, if the banana tree, the baby banana tree that's growing out of your belly button dies, you can just pluck it and put it in your compost heap that's in your backyard. And those are your gardening tips for today.
When I was about 10 years old, my granddad taught me how to plant corn. He would get out that old school tiller. The old school tiller had two handles on it and a big metal wheel in the front. And then it had the things on the back that tilled the ground. So you would go down, up and down, up and down. And then you make the rows in which you're going to plant the corn. Now, did you start the corn in your garage or greenhouse or anything like that? No, you just took the corn seeds. And they were weird looking. They were all shriveled up. They looked like raisins. But they weren't, because they were hard. And if you put it in your mouth and tried to chew it like it was a raisin, you would break your teeth. And that's how a lot of people back in the old days lost their teeth, because they thought they were eating raisins, but it was just really, real hard corn seeds. And I'm not talking like hominy. You buy the hominy out of a can. That's, I mean, you can eat that without cooking it. It tastes really good. That's corn without the skin on it. The hominy inside is what they make grits out of. When it's hard, I mean, when it's soft, you just eat it. You maybe put it on the stovetop and warm it up a little bit, or in a bowl inside of the microwave, and then you add butter to it. You could also add sugar, but corn has its own sweetness. Corn has its own sweetness, but these hard, sometimes they were purple, sometimes they was blue, and I don't understand it. But you would just, and then your granddad would tell you, take a little shovel, and then you scoop a little bit of dirt out, and you put the corn in there, and then you go back, and you cover up the dirt, and then you water it a little bit, and you hope you didn't plant too early, because if it started to grow, and there was a late frost, well, there goes your corn. You got to start all over again. Now, other people would do what the Indians did. The Native American people would catch a bunch of fish, and they would put it in a hole, and they'd cover that up with dirt, and then they'd put the corn seed in there, and then the rotten fish would decompose. The died dead fish would decompose and put a lot of nutrients in the soil, and then your corn stalks would grow up, and then you'd have corn that by the end of the summertime that would taste like fish. And it was strange, because we had yellow sweet corn that we grew in that garden. And by the way, you got to get out there and you got to tend to the weeds, you got to tend to the bugs and stuff that get on there. And it's the thing that I like is the irony of the fact that there is a fish that you caught on a hook with a worm is in the ground, and it's decomposing. And while it's decomposing and giving nutrients to your corn plant, worms are eating it, because it's being turned into soil, and worms eat things that are in the soil, and the worm poop, worm castings or worm poop becomes some sort of nutrient that's also good for the soil. And if you want to get a good worm farm, I recommend you go to my website right now and use Worm Farm, codename Word Farm, and you can get 20% off on discount. And then y'all got your own worm farm. You ever had a worm farm? You put it in there, and the worms go out at night, and they do their own sort of thing with the magic worm thing they do with the soil, and then they climb back up into the worm nest, the house that you built for them, the worm farm, and they just kind of stay there. They stay in the worm farm, and they do their worm thing.
And, of course, they're always eating and pooping. And you can lift up the top and put your scraps in there. And then then you add dirt, and they'll come up and they'll eat them scraps. And then they poop more, and the poop goes down. And then you throw the poop on your corn where the fish is decomposing. And then you got yourself a hell of a bushel of corn come August.
There has always been a simple way to grow a garden. Your garden is a reflection of yourself, of your personality, of the way you do things. That is what a garden is. It's not just a place to idle away the days of the summer and the spring. You go out and you plant, and then you tend. You must tend to your garden. Make sure that the tomatoes are growing, that you have some sort of, like you could go buy an old fence or some chicken wire, make a big sort of arc, right? And then the vines, you sort of guide the vines of the plant as they grow up and around. And then you're not bending over. But it's so important to tend to your garden and to make sure that while you're growing the cucumbers that you turn them so they're not getting bruised. Like, so if your grandparents or somebody old in your family is at a retirement community or an assisted living facility, somebody comes and turns them so they don't get bed sores. Well, you have to do the same thing for a cucumber, because the cucumber, if you don't turn it over, they get bruised, and sometimes bugs will get in there. Then what are you going to do? You're not going to have pickles. If you're growing green onions in the spring, the green onions, the stalks, some people call them scallions. I call them green onions because they're green. Now, they're not fully grown onions, but you yank them out of the soil and you have the skinny onion, and then you can dice up all the greens at the top and go down. And when you have the little whiskers, the little roots of the onion, you cut that off and throw it away, or you give it to some, like your dog. Don't give it to your dog. Dogs can't eat onions. It'll kill them. What am I talking about? Don't give your dog's onion leftovers. It's not a good idea. One time when I was younger, I made a little bowl for my dog. It had chocolate, grapes, and onions in it, and a little bit of garlic. And I mixed it all up, and I gave it to my dog. And then I watched him convulse, and there was nothing I could do. But the good thing I did is that when he was finished, I put him in the chopper, and I made compost out of him, put it in the garden, and we grew our onions in the dog. And that was great, even though the onions ended up tasting like dog. Things end up tasting like what you put underneath them when you grow them. It's just science. That's the way it is. Now, your onions are very important. If you let your onions grow all season long, at the end of the year, there will be flowers on top of the stalks, and then there will be seeds, and from which those seeds you can plant a new garden of onions. Make sure that you're always tending to the onions and making sure that nothing happens to them. Another thing I like to grow are pumpkins. You have to start pumpkins at a certain time of the year so that when they grow out, and then that's another fruit that you have to. By the way, people think that if something doesn't taste sweet, that it's not a fruit. Well, a pumpkin is a fruit. A pumpkin is just a big fruit because there are seeds inside of it. Right? Another thing, but you plant those and you make sure you have enough room, because those vines, like squash vines, they're going to grow out all over the place. And you want to make sure that when they sprout, when the flowers are there, and then you make sure the flowers are okay. And once they start growing into the fruit or the vegetable, I really don't know the difference between the two. You just go ahead and you make sure that you're tending to them. I can't emphasize the tending. You really, really must tend. If you're a bartender, the whole point of view is that you're tending to the bar, and everybody at that bar needs a drink, and they're all angry, and they're shaking money at you, and one guy wants to get laid, and the other guy's just a drunk, and if he goes 2 seconds without sipping on some sort of alcohol, he's liable to start a fight. And you don't want your vegetables fighting with each other, so tend to them. They want water. They want nutrients. They want you to remove the bugs. They want you to, well, leave some of the bugs. A ladybug is very important. If you see a ladybug in your garden, make sure that you leave it there, okay? Other things that you can grow. I saw a TikTok video last year that if you take a stack of old tires and you stack them up and you fill those old tires with dirt. And every layer you add potatoes that you just... But don't forget, you could do this with a barrel. But you could knock over a stack of tires and the potatoes will all fall out at the end of the year. But you could also use a barrel with a potato. Really, don't do that. Don't do that. But if you like potatoes, you can do it. If you like potatoes, you can grow them in a barrel or in a stack of old tires. Now, I don't like to grow things in tires because tires are made out of... petroleum and rubber and other chemicals to keep those bonds together so you can drive on the road. And I like to think of it this way. Tires are for trucks. Tires are not for growing potatoes. Now, if you have a truck and you've got a really solid potato harvest, you can gather up all those potatoes, put them in crates, put them in the back of your truck. And that's what the tires are good for. The tires are good from getting your potatoes to some sort of marketplace where you can either sell them or you can cut them up and turn them into French fries or home fries or hash browns. Or you could scallop them and make scallop potatoes, which, you know, you've been eating all your life, even though you don't like them. It's just some relative of yours or your parent or your grandparent made them for some sort of special dinner. And you're like, okay, I'll have some of these potatoes, but they're not good. Nobody likes, well, scallop potatoes. There's also mashed, but I can't emphasize enough that growing potatoes or any other sort of vegetable inside of a tire is not necessarily a good thing. It's just not. And those are my potato tire. Don't do it in the tire tips. Potatoes are delicious. And by the way, when you are going to peel the potato, when you make mashed potatoes or any type of thing, leave the skin on them because skin has nutrients in it. And just make sure that you clean them and you don't eat the eye, because if you eat the eye, then your head could explode. So that's it. Potatoes are very, very... Oh, you can also make a knish. I think you can make a knish. Or you could make some pasta and you can stuff the mashed potatoes with some cheese inside of the pasta and you've got a pierogi. Possibly the most resilient and useful vegetable, starchy tuber type of thing, is the potato. And I highly recommend that you... eat the potato. And by the way, I want to add this before I wrap up, is that McDonald's, the restaurant chain, they use a certain type of Idaho potato that's really long. And because of the way it's grown, they have to let them sit for a number of days, maybe even weeks inside of a giant warehouse. So the chemicals that they use to make these potatoes grow evaporate off of them before they can cut them and make those French fries that are like a bouquet in the orange, reddish orange McDonald's French fry thing. So be careful. Didn't you know McDonald's? They're with me on this. They do not grow their potatoes in tires.
Well, I planted an apple tree when I was 6 years old. And the tree grew, and by the time I was 10 years old, the tree was, it was making apples. It was making apples, growing apples, but we moved, and we moved to another town. So fast forward about, I'm 16 years old, and I got a car, and I said, well, I'm going to drive to my old town and try to I'm gonna drive my old town, my old house that we lived in, where I planted the apple tree, and see if them apples were still growing. And I found it. I found the old house, and I saw the apple tree, and there was apples on it. And I was like, wow, that tree that I planted when I was a little kid that had grown up, and there was apples on it. And so, you know, I figured since I planted it and I tended to it until we moved away, that the apples were mine. So I went and knocked on the door, and nobody answered. And I knocked again, and nobody answered. And so I just kept knocking. I knocked on that door for like an hour and a half, and nobody came. I heard a TV playing. There was watching dolls. Whoever was there, they were probably asleep. And they were watching some sort of a soap opera in there and or something, because it was the afternoon, and it was the 80s, and I could hear the music that plays when it comes up, and but I was there for a good 2-3 hours, just sort of rapping on the door, I had a shopping bag or two. And since I figured it was like almost 4 hours that I was there just standing on their porch, looking at the mail, I read the paper. And there was a dog in there that barked every now and then. Not every time, but he did bark every little bit. Then I got the paper sack, and I went in. Well, I didn't go in. I went around the backyard where the tree was, and I just started picking apples. Not the ones off the ground, because the ones on the ground, you know, apples fall off of trees all the time, and they get bugs in them, or they start to rot. Other things eat them, dogs, cats. You know, the neighborhood animal come over and eat them apples. So I filled up the grocery sacks. I had two of them. I had two double. Hang on, man. All right, I had a cough. What I did is I filled up them sacks, right? And I started walking back around the house. And finally, I think the person that lived there, they came out of the house, and they had a baseball bat in their hand. They're like, "Who are you? What are you doing in my yard?" I said, "Well, I knocked on your door for about 6.5 hours, and nobody answered." And the guy said, "Well, I work late shift, and I was sleeping in the living room on the couch." And I said, "Well, your TV was on." And he said, "Well, I can't sleep without the TV being on. I have to have that noise in the background." I go out in the noise machine, and I said, "Well, I do the same thing. You know, at night when I go to sleep, I turn on the weather channel, and I listen to the weather. And the music is, you know, and that's what I do. I sleep all night with a weather channel on." And that way, it's funny because it's not like osmosis. If you're not awake and you're watching the weather channel, you're not really watching it. And you're not really listening to it because your brain, that part of your brain ain't taking it all in. So even if you spend like 15 straight hours listening to the weather channel, you're still not going to know the weather unless you get, you know, an app on your phone and look at it. You know how sometimes you could look at your watch or the time or a clock like 17 times in like 2 minutes and still not remember what time it is? That's what this is like. So we got to talking about, you know, what we listen to when we sleep. And his dog come out, and his dog was just an old mutt or something. But his dog was really nice. His dog was really nice. A little too friendly, like a lot of dogs can be. You know what I mean. They strap around your leg and just go to town, you know. They're doing the thing. You shake them off a little bit. You don't want to be mean because you don't want the owner to get mad because she's going to get mad that you stole his apples. Anyway, he noticed eventually that I had these two bags of apples, and he said, "Well, what are you doing with my apples? I was going to pick them, and my sister was going to make some apple pies and some applesauce, and we're going to, you know, cut them up, freeze them, whatever." And I said, "Well, I planted that tree back there when I was a little kid. And I figured that I never got apples off, but I figured that I was entitled to some of them apples." And I showed him a picture of me in the backyard, and he understood that it was the same house. And he said, "Well, you can have them apples, but you got to give me something." And I wasn't prepared to give him nothing. I didn't have any money on me. I had my debit card. And I said, "Well, do you got Venmo?" And he said, "I don't have Venmo." And I said, "You had a Cash App?" And he said, "No, I don't got the Cash App." And I said, "Well, you got Apple Cash?" He said, "No, I got an Android phone." And I didn't know what to do. He said, "Well, can you give me a ride to work?" And I said, "Yeah, I can give you a ride to work." "How far away is it?" And he said, "250 miles. I said, well, in what direction?" He said, "North." And I live south. So I just, listen, for two sacks of apples, I drove him 250 miles to his job. And I said, "Well, how do you get to work every day if you live 250 miles away?" And he said, "Well, usually I go there and I sleep at work." And I was just confused. I was confused. But, you know, in the car ride, we listened to a lot of different music. We talked about apples. We talked about apples and how you got to make sure that you don't use pesticides and you pick them at the right time. And all the wonderful things you can make out of apples. And that's my apple story. And when I drove back, I found out, because I went by that house, and I found out he didn't even live there. And the police was outside. And it turned out he was a squatter. And that wasn't even his dog. So I ended up taking that dog with me. And it ended up being all right. Because I drove 500 miles.
on top of where I came from and where I had to go back to, and I brought my dog with me and them apples. So I got a free dog and two sacks of apples, and I got to meet a real nice policeman. But I'll tell that story next week. For those sentences,
I grow mushrooms on toilet paper. It's the easiest way. You just grow the mushrooms on the toilet paper, and then you pick them off the toilet paper when they're mushrooms, then you eat them. They're not the kind of mushrooms you put on pizza or in salads, or that you deep fry. Well, you could deep fry them, I suppose, but then they'd lose all their potential, or potency, not potential. The potential is inside of the potency. So you take the mushrooms, and you eat the fucking mushrooms, and then you get really fucking high, and you just end up, you know, micro-dosing on, or I call it macro-dosing. You eat as many as you can without dying, and if you survive, then you have the keys to the universe, and that's what I do with my toilet paper mushrooms.
Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by an endowment. I am less endowed than most endowments, but endowments from sponsors, one of those sponsors being Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, Georgia. The other one being LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. Trambles is a subsidiary of the Radio Labyrinth podcast. It is not available in video form. Today's nonsense about gardening was stream of consciousness. Make sure you check out Tim Andrews' other things, such as the Tim Andrews Popcast, which exists on your favorite podcatcher or the WSB radio app. My most recent guest was the comedian and actor, or actress if you prefer, if you're old school, Mary Lynn Ryskoop. She's funny. All right. Have a great week.